Zero Hour is a nuclear platformer with a twist. It's the Coco Show, episode 32. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Coco Show. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're going to be talking about Zero Hour.
Ooh, nice.
Now, Aaron, it seems like we talk a lot about nuclear catastrophe on this show.
It's less and less funny every day.
It is. But, you know, sometimes you build a little bunker in your house just in case things go south.
Fallout shelter.
If you were going to build a fallout shelter in your backyard, how would you design
it? You're in it.
This is it.
This is it right here. If there's some sort of nuclear explosion, what I do is I get the boy, I run outside, I lock the doors from the outside so no one else can get out.
Yeah.
Then I come in here and then lock the doors again. You know, we've got food in here, we've got the whole nine yards. I mean, you know, I've got these Bud Light seltzers.
Yeah. You Luke will love those.
I got four or five of these Mountain Dew Zeros, a couple waters, right? Good to go. We sit down, we play video games, and wait for the apocalypse. That's all you do.
That's
what else
true.
Can you do?
I can't think of a better way to spend my last moments on Earth than here at Amigo Studios East.
Yeah, I'd also turn on the air.
That'd
be
true.
Part of it. Because if I'm going to go, I'm going to go cool. I'm not going to just sit here and boil. You know, not until later.
Not until later.
When we all boil.
That's when the real boiling
starts. What would you
do?
You've got to... Your backyard doesn't exactly lend itself to
No, because my house is built on the side of a hill.
Yes.
So my basement isn't even a real basement.
No.
It's just the bottom of the hill.
It is funny. In West Virginia, almost everyone lives on the side of a mountain. And when I was on Mud Mountain, I had the exact same setup as a basement as you did. Just partially underground. The rest of it not underground.
Yeah. Now, you know, they sell these big barrels of food, you know, prepper food.
Big barrels of food. That sounds tasty.
Have you ever... How far on the prepper scale have you gone down?
Not too far. That prepper food ain't cheap, brother.
Yeah.
You know, and these preppers... You know, the thing is, if you've seen what these guys eat, I don't want to live in that world.
No.
You know what I mean? Because when I was in Boy Scouts, I had some of that freeze-dried food. You ever had it where you're taking boiling
in
a pot of water?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I don't know about now, but in the old days, that stuff was double butt.
Listen, if it's coming down to living like that or dying, I'm going to go out there in the atomic blast, and I'm going to look like the guy from the Shawshank Redemption. I'm just going to be like... Bring it on, baby.
What would be great about U-Boat is, because I know when this went down, you would consume so much alcohol that you would go up like a flare.
That's right. That's
right. And that's the way to go.
That's a quick and painless death.
And buck naked.
Mm-hmm.
Just standing in your backyard
yep.
doing that.
Yep.
I can see it. That'd be a glorious way to go out.
Yeah.
Bro.
If you're going to go out, that's how
right
you go
out. Right to heaven.
Out.
Then you can explain yourself at the gates. But why are you liquored up? I've led a good life.
So speaking of dying and going to heaven...
Oh,
I had a
nice
real
lead-in.
Good time playing this week's game of the week. But before we get into that, Aaron,
yeah.
It's time to talk about the heavenly hosts themselves, RetroRewind.ca.
Oh, yes. What do we have to say about these guys except the good stuff?
Listen, if you are a Coco enthusiast and you haven't been to RetroRewind.ca before, I highly suggest you go there because they offer a full range of hardware and software options for you to entertain and illuminate yourself with all the goodness that is the Coco. I'm just kind of going over here, Aaron, and let's talk a little bit about what happens when things go south on the old Coco. Sometimes you know what's wrong immediately.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just spill a Coke all over it.
Or cocoa.
That's true. But sometimes you don't know what's wrong. Sometimes you just fire it up and something is off.
Sometimes you're a dumb guy that literally blows it up himself and it has no idea how to fix it.
That's right. I could have used this diagnostic cart exclusively available over at Retro Rewind, Aaron. You can do all the tests, including cassette, keyboard, joystick. You can test each component and see which one of these things is giving me problems. And then, if you don't know how to fix it yourself, Frank's got you covered. You send it up to Retro Rewind and he'll fix it right because he's got the tools to do the job correctly. He's not messing around with a cheap soldering iron over at some bench. Everybody's got a bench these days. I'm live at the retro bench.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't know what you're doing. Send it to Frank. He knows what he's doing.
If you've got a bench, you probably have some idea what you're doing.
No,
you
know, I've got a bench. I've got several benches.
The thing is, now, the benches don't have the jack that Frank's got because he's got an ultra bench. He's got space-age technology to remove caps and stuff that we've never seen before.
You ever watch Hot Bench? Three judges, three opinions. hot bench.
That sounds horrible.
It's on WSAZ at like 3:30.
Having been to real court, the thought of facing three judges, I find horrific. But that's not a problem. I don't know where you're going with that. But getting back to Retro Rewind, Frank has literally decades of knowledge, of practice, of skill, working on machines. He can take your machine apart. He can get your cap swapped out, put them back in, done deal. Or, like Boat said, if you want to do it yourself, Coco Diagnostic Cartridges is a good way to start. And if you're new to the Coco game, we're going to school you. Get the old Coco SDC, brother.
That's
also
right.
From Frank. That's the best thing you can buy from your Coco. He will take care of your business on that as well. It's a good place. Coco doesn't get a lot of love.
No.
Although it's coming up. Frank is a guy right here in North America. He'll take care of your business. You don't have to ship anything anywhere else but up to Frank, and he will take care of you. And we fully endorse his activities, Boat.
That's right. And you can save 10% off this or any order by using the promo code AMIGOS10 at checkout. Thank you, Retro Rewind, for sponsoring the Coco Show.
Yeah, and don't ever face three judges. No good.
Even if they're just on one bench.
No benches. What kind of courtroom is that?
You got to watch Hot
this
Bench,
is like
man.
This is like figure skating has three judges.
I don't know.
Do you watch this show?
Of course I do. Just imagine all the fun and excitement of the People's Court, but with three judges and three opinions, Hot Bench.
Clearly the judges in Putnam County didn't know this before they awarded you anything, because that would have been the end of that, Boat. Get this out.
Let's talk about Zero Hour, Aaron.
Holy smokes. Good Lord. That was the dumbest conversation we've had for a long time. Let's talk about... There's a game, Boat. A little game. We like to call it Zero Hour. Just released. Hot off the presses. How often do we get to play brand new Coco games?
Not often.
This just came out in March of this year, Boat. Now, I'm going to clue you in right away. If you want to play Zero Hour, you got to have the Coco tray, the three, Boat. And you really need to have the old 6309 to enhance the speed. You don't got it, but you...
It's going to help.
If you have a Coco 3, you should just get this.
Right.
6309.
It's super cheap.
It's cheap.
It's easy to install.
I did it myself. It's not that easy. I'm sure Frank can help you out. Yeah, you didn't do it yourself. You need 512K of RAM, and you need a joystick. Now, I will give you another hint. You don't want to play this on the Black Beauties. That's a no.
That's a big no.
Boy, did I struggle for a couple nights as I tried to play this on the Black Beauties. And I looked at the docs, and I was like, yeah, you need a self-centering joystick. Yes. Now, you played this probably on your Deluxe, I'm guessing.
I played this, I was going to fire it up on the Deluxe, but then I realized the Deluxe was here.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I brought all the Coco stuff over for our stream that didn't happen last week. So I ended up playing this. I tried to fire it up on the Mister. I've had no end of trouble getting Coco, like new Coco stuff to work, the transcode and stuff. I don't know what's going on with my Mister. I had to resort to the old... VCC.
Oh, you mean the thing you badmouth week after week?
Yeah,
now you need to rescind that because that's a good program.
I know.
So what do you say to those guys?
I say, well, as a last-ditch effort,
no.
You guys are okay.
Listen, don't be like that. That's a good program, too. Now, this game, of course, like I said, just came out in March. A game from Nick Marientes, who is a prolific programmer, Boat. I went and dug up a list. I went over to his website. It's got a long list of the stuff he's done. I mean, it's a timeline stretching back to 1982.
Oh my gosh.
So much like the Speccy, this marks the 40th year of programming.
Programming.
Congratulations.
Wow. Congratulations, Nick.
Just to go over some of the stuff that people may have heard of that would have been released recently, Jim Hunter, Pipes, Rally SG, Gunstar. You know, did we do Gunstar on the show?
We haven't done Gunstar yet.
I can't believe that, since I'm Mitch on the box.
Yeah.
I gotta put myself
You're Mr.
over.
Gunstar.
Oh, yeah. Donut Dilemma, which is another classic. Popstar Pilot. You know, this guy's done a ton of stuff. And he always, especially here recently, you know, we sort of came in when Gunstar was being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I was privy to some of the goings on. And so Nick is really trying to push the envelope. And take the Coco in exciting new places. And I think this game is sort of like the culmination of that, which is Zero Hour. So Zero Hour, an interesting game where you are a hero who has to effectively save the world. And how would you do that, Boat? You've got to disable an atomic weapon, a nuclear bomb. It's capable of blowing up everything. But it's not going to be easy, Bode. It's not going to be easy at all. You've got to go through here and through many, many different levels in the game and complete different challenges just to get the code you need to shut off that secret weapon. Not easy, I can assure you. Oh, and by the way, did I mention there's a time limit that you have to cope with?
It's the ticking time bomb.
Yeah, so the game starts in basically a foyer, a one room that will let you access many doors as you go through.
It's much like the Addams Family.
It is not like the Addams Family.
It's exactly like the Addams Family.
Well, it doesn't
look like
it.
The exact same thing in the Addams Family. You're in a foyer, and you go through different rooms to get to different levels.
Well, but this is all, you can see all the openings right here.
Well, that's because it's a Cocoa game. It's not like a real game.
No, listen, you're an idiot, number one. And number two, this open foyer is awesome. It works that great because it lets you pick any game that you want to try.
All I'm saying is you can't appropriate something from the Addams Family without giving credit.
Listen, do you think the Addams Family was the first game to do that?
Yes.
Highly unlikely. We'll talk about that later. What is with your obsession, the Addams Family?
It's the greatest video game of all time.
Oh, are you nuts? Even you don't think that, and you're you. So, getting back to Zero Hour, you start off in an area where you get to pick where you go, right? You've got elevators, or you've got basically like platforms that move up and down that will put you beside a door. When you go into the door, in each door, there's a different area, okay? First of all, this game, just this room by itself, is more graphically impressive and large than a lot of Cocoa games.
That's true.
Back in the
That's
day.
True.
And the movement of your guy is quite impressive.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
Is the animation on Impossible Mission.
A lot of people have made that. This game has shares some interesting similarities to that game. Also, it's aptly named. Because much like that game, I found this to be an impossible mission on its own. So, I just want to, there's so many different rooms. I want to touch on them briefly, just to give you an idea of the flavor. Now, like I said, you play a guy, he just looks like a mild-mannered guy. In fact, he almost kind of looks kind of doofusy.
He has strange elbow posture.
Yeah, and his jump, he's no Olympian.
No.
He
looks like a normal guy. Like, if this had happened to a normal person, right, they'd probably strut around this place with their elbows back just like that.
You know, and here's the thing. He knows what he's up against, and he's an everyman. That's what makes him an interesting hero, because he's got to go through 12 main gameplay levels. 12, Boat.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means inside this game, Nick has put all sorts of diabolical rooms, a la like a manic miner, mm-hmm, to suffer you through to get through. I'm going to go through some of these in no particular order, Boat. So the first room I want to talk about is an acid room, and this kind of gives you a flavor from a lot of the game. A lot of these rooms will contain robots, elevators that move up and down. When I say elevator, I mean like a moving platform that goes up and down. And you'll have to go around and light up certain areas to get out of the room.
This is the old Miner 2049er gimmick.
Well, it is and it isn't. Because unlike the Miner, this guy's also got some like weaponry.
Yeah, he's got offensive capabilities, but you're moving over sections of the floor to clear the stage.
That's right. And so when you move in this, you move left and right on the joystick, just like you would expect, and fire button jump. If you pull down, hit the button, you launch a bomb, basically, and the bomb launches at a diagonal downward, mm-hmm, trajectory. So you have to sort of be very careful. How it sort of reminded me of the Donut Dilemma a little bit, the way that guy fired in there.
Yeah, the projectile physics are different.
Right, but I mean, that plays into the strategy of the level.
Yeah,
the
you
point.
Absolutely have to take that into account,
right,
for sure.
And so, the acid room, for example, at the bottom of it, you have to go through and clear areas that have rising and falling pools of acid. Don't touch them. Now, we also want to talk about your man, the character himself. As you're going through these levels, this guy is not like, he's not Mario, he's not a jump man. This guy can't jump, he can't fall very far.
Yeah.
He can fall a little, but he can't fall too far before dying.
I really think that it is very akin to your fall distance in Donkey Kong. I think you can fall about the same amount of time.
I don't think he's that, I mean, it's close, but I mean, it's certainly that jump man where you've got a lot more
jump. Oh yeah, jump man, you can do whatever you want.
And so, well, I mean, you still fall in that, but you can get
crazy.
Yeah. So, as you leap across these different areas to get these different points, you're often contested by various things. But the funny thing about this game is, often the levels aren't really about getting past an adversary. And I'll take you to a level that has no adversaries, like the hoist crane is a level. In the hoist crane room, you literally move your man around in a crane. He gets in a crane box and floats around the screen. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to move the crane around, and you're trying to intercept falling boxes. And then when you do this, it will basically, when you don't do it, it lights something up that you don't want lit. And so you have to catch this, and you're moving around frantically. Again, I found this thing very difficult, incredibly difficult, but it's neat. That's the thing about this. When I say there are 12 various levels, these are all totally different levels. You've got the hoist crane level. You've got levels with hydraulic lifts. You've got levels that have fire. You've got levels that have conveyor belts. Plus, you've got robots to contend with. When you hit a robot with your energy bomb, you don't kill the robot. You just you temporarily distract him. And then you try to get to where you need to go on the same. You can run right through him at that point. When he wakes back up, you're boned.
Right.
All right. So you went through a lot of these levels. I tried every level several times because this is a game in the tradition of a Manic Miner, which is a game. This is the game that a lot of people are saying Impossible Mission. But when you play Impossible Mission, there's a card system, and it's not like this at all.
The only thing that is similar is the way that the character kind of jumps and walks.
Right, but I mean, you're not the first. I've heard a lot of people say that. But when it comes to the actual levels, to me, it reminds me a lot more of a Manic Miner.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Each level is diabolically conceived by Nick, who made it extra specially tough to get through this. This isn't the kind of game. I'm used to a kind of a game like a Donkey Kong, where you go through and you're using your nimble dexterity to get through, and you need to use that in this. But you really have to think about what you're doing in a much more Manic Miner sort of way, including pixel-perfect jumps, where you've got to be at the edge of something to make a jump. That stuff is part of this. I don't think it's as bad as Manic Miner. What were your initial impressions on this one, Boatster?
This, to me, when I started playing this, I was like, this is sort of a distillation of your classic, I'd say, like pre-1984 platforming style game. Before Super Mario Brothers really redefined what a platformer is, this is sort of like at the nadir of what a platforming game could be, because you have all the elements. You have tight controls, as long as you're playing with a joystick that's not the Black Beauty. I found the controls to be incredibly responsive, and I found the controls to be dependable. Like, everything happened the way I thought it would be. One of the things that I really liked immediately about this game was that I knew that you're going to take fall damage, but the animation of your character changes when he dies from fall damage, so you can guesstimate about how far you can fall once you die once, how to die again. The next thing I noticed was, obviously, you can choose from any of the rooms except for the final room at any time. This is great.
Yeah.
This is super great. The third thing I noticed is that you get a goodly amount of guys.
Nine.
You get nine to start off with. So the game is not too frustrating right off the bat. So my initial impressions of this game were pretty much all positive. Pretty much all positive.
The funny thing about this is the embodiment. If you ever said, what's a platform puzzler? This is the embodiment of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to go into that knowing that this is not a game you just whip through.
Right.
You're going to die many, many times. And I can count the number of times I can complete these levels on two hands. And much like Manic Miner, the more you do them, the better you get at them. Okay, but it's going to be a frustrating toil, to be honest with you. And then you've got to think about, you've got a time limit, and you've got to go through the game, and you've got to complete all these levels. Then, just to get to the end part, I never even came close to doing it. So it's going to be something that probably someone that's a better player than I am tries to accomplish. But I don't want to gloss over something here, and that's this. This is a Coco 3 game, okay? And a Coco 3 was a good machine, don't get me wrong, but this is not a powerhouse machine, okay? And we've seen a lot of games. I mean, you've played many, many Coco games. I grew up with the Coco. The scope of this game is far past the scope of practically any other game I could think of. The amount of gameplay that's in this game, whether it's your cup of tea or not, if you're not into puzzle platformers, okay, fine, I get it. But the scope of this game, the amount of game that's here, is far leaps and leaps and bounds beyond anything I've seen on the Coco. And on top of everything else, you've got digitized sound. You've also got background graphics. Speaking of Adam's Family, the one thing the Amiga version didn't have, this has, which is neat background graphics that run. They're animated. It's a good looking game. It's crystal clear. Everything on the screen has a reason to be there. You can tell the meters at the bottom tell you exactly what you need to know. And it's a well done game by a programming veteran who's been doing this for 40 years. You can tell that. There's no doubt about that. The gameplay elements are so varied, and we just sort of touched the tip of the iceberg. There are levels where you can freely fall down to the entire level. Right. You know, there are levels where you have to close chutes, and there's all kinds of unique and inventive levels that involve you getting through. I mean, it's multiple. Any one of these levels is a Coco game in itself.
Yes, yeah, that is true, 100%. You should say that again. Any one of these levels could be its own Coco game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, with all that said, and because I'm a fair man, I did not have 100% love for this game. I had about 90%. I found the game to be incredibly difficult. I really did. I'm not Buck Owens, one of these guys that's a master. I thought it was really tough. Nick's newer stuff, I thought this was a tough one. It's not a criticism of the game, per se. It's more of a critique of my own skills. I don't know how well you did at it, but if I could get through one of these levels, it was like I felt like I'd really accomplished something, because it's really tough. You know, and it's one of those games, like I said, it's a game that you're going to have to sit down, just like a Manic Miner, and you're going to have to toil at it for hours and days, right? And eventually you'll get it, but I didn't get there. How was your success at this?
I did okay at this. I beat a couple of the levels.
I played so long with the Black Beauty on this, too. Yeah. And it was so hard. Yeah,
I cannot imagine.
Yeah, it was so hard.
And speaking of which, if you're watching the playthrough right now, Buck Owens' playthrough, he does beat the game, but the final level is grayed out. It's pixeled out, so you can't see the final challenge, which I think is cool. I'm glad that Buck didn't ruin it for everybody.
As far as I could tell on YouTube, Buck's the only one that's beat the game that I've seen video of. Mm-hmm.
The thing, this is a hard game. You're right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Unlike Manic Miner, unlike Jet Set Willy, unlike any number of games, I don't have a problem with the difficulty level on this game because you are allowed to choose what rooms you tackle first.
That is a big help. It really is a big help.
Because you never, because sometimes you play a level over and over and over again, and you just want to do something else. You want to play something else. And this game gives you, you know, six or seven. How many levels are there? 12?
12.
This game gives you 11 other things to try.
There's a slot machine in here.
And you can gamble for extra power-ups and stuff. And so half of the problem sometimes is that you get into sort of a psychological slump where, you know, your brain just shuts off and you can't perform the things you need to do. And being able to switch to any other level is like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And so
that's true.
You can make the game, you know, a game like this, you can make it as hard as you want, as long as you don't make every level mega, mega hard, which they're not. I was able to complete, for example, the Firestorm level on like my second or third try. And you make the challenges varied. Like you said, you're in the crane on the one level. You're doing other things. And so this game is I just wish that I could give this game to everybody that makes new games for classic computer systems. Because in my mind, if the game runs fast, if the game gives you good variety, and the game gives you plenty of options, this is a good game. And you could build the rest of the game any way that you want.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. Another note I wanted to mention is the fact that this game has digitized sound, which is cool. I will say I wasn't super keen on the death sound.
Listen, that's, to me, the digitized sound. This is like everybody that made an Amiga game back in the day. There's a reason why you don't have digitized effects in games anymore, like indie games. And it's because the first time that you hear the guy says crikey, you're like, oh, it's funny because Nick's Australian. The 30th time you hear it, you want to destroy all Australians and Paco Take.
Well, I've always want to feel like I always want to destroy Paco, let's be honest. But I mean, and the thing is, it's clear as a bell. It's more of a demo. It's amazing that you could do that. I mean, it's the Coco. But, you know, it's frustrating to hear that for the 3,000th time after I've been repeating.
Another thing that I don't like about this game is how long it takes you to die before you can start over.
Yeah.
I would much rather, like, once you reach that fall, the where you switch into this, you need to speed time up 2x to get you off the screen or just have you spin around. You don't need to have a death sequence last 5 seconds.
Or a button to skip that would be fine.
Yeah.
It'd be easy. I agree. And this goes back to, listen, me and you played a lot of ZX Spectrum games, brother, right? And games where they kill you repeatedly.
Yep.
And again, this is the Coco gift to the ZX Spectrum gamers.
Right.
This game is going to be very popular amongst the European.
Because
crowd.
I'll tell you what, that's what Manic Miner did right. Is when you die on Manic Miner, you go, and then you're back.
And you're gone. Because you die so much.
Right.
You know, this game is not quite that deadly, but it's deadly enough to where I agree with that. Any game that makes you wait for a while, as a gamer, that drives me bananas.
Yeah.
But these are pity pat minor criticisms.
They're minor quibble. I have one other minor quibble before I forget.
Go ahead.
When you enter a door in the foyer, you press up once to open the door, and then you press up again to go in.
Yeah.
There might be a reason that I don't understand why that's the case, and if there is, that's fine, but I couldn't figure out why. You need to just be able to press up and go into the level.
Yeah. But I think this, with all that said, and we know Nick. I think Nick's a great guy. He's a great programmer. So I try to be impartial. But I say this as from a neutral perspective. This sets a new standard for color computer gaming.
Absolutely.
And
every Coco game that comes after this is going to have to live up to 0 hour.
Like, I mean, we often talk on when we do like a show like the Amigas or something. Could this game could this have been released on another system? Could this game have been released on the MSX or the NES like that? Yes. I mean, this one absolutely could.
I tell you, the only thing that this game is missing is background music.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
This game would not have been released on the NES without background.
That would have been an addition.
But
I mean,
this is the Coco 3, and the sound chip is the same as the
other
Coco.
And the thing is, there are augmented sound systems that are on their way that we'll probably be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's, again, and really, in a game like this, given the criteria, given what you're doing, not having sound isn't the worst because it adds a little bit to the fact that you're trying to save the world from a nuclear bomb. I don't mind it that much, but still, some suspenseful music what might be kind of fun.
This is a perfect opportunity too. You've got 12 boards to have 12 little tunes that play.
That would be nice. Yeah. Yeah. But now, and again, I don't know how to say this, but we're not technically inclined.
I'm a programming genius.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I know you're not. In fact, you're a dumb guy. And so when we don't know how difficult it would be to do that
exactly.
sort of thing. Because, I mean, there's a lot going on in these scenes with the background and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, again, we've only barely touched on. But, like, just the fact that that's going on is astounding.
Now, Aaron, you own this game.
I do.
You own this game. Does this game come in both digital download form and physical, or do you have to buy the physical?
It comes in both, actually. I'm going to go to where we can see what I'm doing here. So here is the, I actually picked this up. I got two of these both. And we'll get into why here in a moment, but you get a real nice, this is the case you get right here, which is, if you're listening, it's a hard plastic case, just like a DVD case boat with 0 hour in the front with a nuclear explosion. And the Tandy badge on it, which it looks real nice.
Real sharp.
The back is, of course, just like you would expect. There's a description of what the game's about. A couple of screenshots on here. Look at that game testing. It's supported by L. Curtis Boyle and Steve Rasmussen. So there's a reason why he's involved.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's so good at it.
When you open this thing up, you've got a CD in here. And you've also got an instruction card in color, by the way. And this gives you the controls. The objective, all you need, and a little blurb about Nick, and even a little picture of Nick. You know, not too bad.
And so you can go over to nickmoranthes.com and click on the 0 hour link. You can pick up the digital download version for $10 US, and the physical version is very reasonable at $20. We've seen so many fleecings go on in the Amiga community with physical versions. It's good to see somebody selling something. It's not ripping you off.
I'm not going to throw everybody at the bridge.
I'm throwing everybody.
No, I know you are, but I'm nicer than you. A lot of people make pretty nice game cases, in all honesty. And a lot of them even have nice, like, inserts and printed CDs like this one, which has the disc image on it and whatnot. But the key is, oh, by the way, the game's good.
Yeah.
We've played a few games where it looks great, the case is great, and you play the game, it's not that good. You know, this
I'm not,
is good.
I'm not saying it starts with a Z and ends with an X, F, next, Spectrum next. Well, but this is this is above and
I
beyond.
I thought that game was pretty good too, but just it had some problems. But this is quite a lovely package, and it shipped here toot sweet. I will say that again. Not the I am trying to be impartial, but I'm calling it like I see it. It was here quick. I actually ordered three things from Nick, and I got them toot sweet. Mm-hmm. And by the way, several of Nick's games come in real nice boxes. And so it's if you're not the worst to have a little collection of the of Nick Meridian stuff because they're all well done. The games are good, oh, by the way, but the cases and stuff are real good. A lot of times you don't get a nice, attractive case. So, Boat, give them that address one more time.
This is nickmeridian.com, and you can get links to all of his games right from there. Try to avoid it on mobile. Not optimized for mobile, but on your PC it'll load just fine.
I also will say I played this on a real hardware, Boat. And I played this on my Coco 3. I've got the enhanced chip on mine. Mm-hmm. I've got plenty of memory, brother. L. Curtis Boyle, years ago, when I got back into the community, he's like, listen, here's what you need to do. Don't ask any questions. The good games are coming. And I was like, well, they're here. He was right. And so I went ahead and got mine done. So if you haven't got a Coco 3, a real one, go get you one. And stick this on maybe a Coco SDC that you can get from Frank, which I tried mine. It worked perfectly off the SDC. You're good to go. It's a good way to go, Bo.
Yeah,
anyway, long story short, I liked it, man.
Well, you weren't the only one because we did get a review. If you support the Coco Show or any of the shows on our network, you can leave us a review on the Coco Show Reviews channel. We got a review from the one and only Exile in Paradise.
Ooh.
He says, 0 hour. He puts the score right up front. He doesn't mess around. 9 out of 10. He says, it'll get a 10 when I stop blowing up the planet. He says, taking some of the best elements of his back catalog of games and melding them with a ton of individual puzzles, Nick has built a game that is just as frustrating enough to be immense fun. So many polished touches make for a solid, smooth game, which is basically a puzzle platformer. Enter each room, defuse the buttons while avoiding robots and gravity. I get a constant impossible mission vibe while playing, probably because of the robots, but rather than the impossible mission, when you die, a bit more of Nick's humor shows through in 0 hour. The time allotted is not excessive and not too short either. There's room to gamble for bonuses in the casino room, lives, and EMF bombs start good, and if you carefully manage them, you'll rarely find the need for more, except for certain rooms. You choose your path through the game. There's nothing forced about which puzzle room you try to complete, which is nice for a more casual gamer like me. New spoilers on the ending, but it's definitely a Nick game is all I will say about that. Well worth every penny and very replayable. A solid win for a constant pickup game that really makes the Coco 3 shine, much like Nick's previous work. Get this or be a sad puppy. So, and Curtis Boyle writes a quick review. He says he's been sick a few days, so if you feel better, Curtis, so no full review. I hope that the game, let's try this again. I can sum up the game as a great game with lots of variety and gameplay between the levels, excellent background cog animations, and the ability to do levels except the last one in any order you want, all being pluses.
Yeah. And that's from somebody who is working on the game himself that we've seen. That's going to be an interesting release. We know plenty of people that work on games, and we're very fortunate, Boat, to know people like Happy Coding and whatnot. And it's not what's one of the things that makes it great is a lot of these guys that are working independently are doing great work. Mm-hmm. And Nick is no exception. I strongly urge you to check out some of his other games, Donut Dilemma, Gunstar. These are great games. And 0 hour, I didn't think he could best a couple of these. I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I've played a lot of his stuff, Boat. But this right here is a tour de force. If you've got the patience and you've got the Coco 3 to play it or a nice emulator, this is your Huckleberry right here. I would grab it today.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, before we get out of here, we need to give a big shout-out to the Coco Games Selection Committee. These guys choose all the games we play, and they are pillars, one and all of the Coco community. So a big tandy thank you to Robert Allen Murphy and Steve Rasmussen.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Steve, multiple, for also providing us with this footage that we're showing,
Steve
too.
Steve saved our bacon on that.
All right, Aaron, it's time to bid a fond farewell to 0 hour. Listeners, we want to hear your feedback. please feel free to leave us a comment on YouTube. If you could review us on your podcatcher of choice, we'd appreciate that. We release this show in both audio, podcast, and video format on YouTube. You can find all of the Coco shows at bit.ly/thecocoshow. And you can. We also record this live on Twitch at twitch.tv/AmigosRetroGaming. If you want to support the show, you can visit patreon.com/thecocoshow. We do have a goal up there. If we can get to $200 a month in Patreon support, the Coco Show will morph from a monthly endeavor to a weekly show, which
we
would be
that,
super awesome. Oh, man.
We love the Coco.
We
so
love
much.
The Coco. which leads us to our Coco Show supporter roll call. So thank you to Graham, W. Vebke, Buttons, and William Becker. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, fellas.
If you like our format and you want to hear more, feel free to check out our other shows, Amigos Everything Amiga, Ira Sinclair, An American Take on the ZX Spectrum, The Atari ST Show, 1200XL, and ARG Presents, where Aaron and the Brent spin the wheel.
You're really putting us over this week, man.
I appreciate that. All these shows can be found on the Amigos Retro Gaming YouTube channel or at anchor.fm/AmigosPodcast. Mm. Now, Aaron, what are we going to play next time on the
Shall we
show?
Look?
Let's look, man.
Bam! It's Rally SG, Bo.
It's a back-to-back Marentes Superstore.
Wow, he's over with the voters, that's for sure. Now, you know, have you played this one much?
Never, never. I have not played this one. I know that it is a homage to Rally X, and so we'll have to dust off our copy of Rally X and compare.
Back-to-back weeks of Nick?
Yeah.
We could do much worse.
We could do much worse
than that.
Much, much worse. All right. So, it's time to get on it. If you support the show, that means you're a member of our Discord community. So, get on Discord, play the game, write us a review, and we will read it next episode on the air. Guys, thank you all so much for listening, and all hail...
El Curtis Boyle, home.